In Genesis, the third chapter, when God is casting Adam and Eve out of the garden for their disobedience in eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he tells Adam in verse 17, "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." You know, we've gotten way away from an agricultural economy. And so when we read this, we may not really make the connection. And yet, you know, in my own job, and I know I've mentioned the work that I do many times as I've taught and preached, because it's hard. And, you know, I have my own thorns and thistles at the job that I have. I think it's an important work that I do. I'm trying to make it safer for people in the hospital to get medication. That's the bottom line of my job. And I'm under a lot of pressure because the government has decided there are certain things that we have to do, and sometimes I don't agree with them, and yet I have to do the best I can with them. And we're under a lot of time pressure right now. You know, my wife keeps telling me recently, you know, you really don't have to do this, Kevin. You can find something else. We'll be all right. But, you know, I feel like I've made a commitment. And if I left right now, we're kind of at a critical time, and things would be very hard. So I can appreciate hard work and having a job situation that is difficult. And yet when Murray mentioned in his announcements last week about Brother Hunt and some of the trials that he was going through, you know, it really kind of put some things in perspective for me, because, you know, I want support at my job. You know, I'm blessed to have that. Covenant Health has a large IT staff, and there's a lot of people there that I can go to get things done, and that I can get support from, that I can get help from. And I realized, you know, and I think I've even maybe mentioned it from the pulpit before, but I haven't ever really done it. You know, what kind of support do I give the men that we support? What have I done to reach out to them and let them know there are people that are praying for them, that are wanting them to succeed? And I realized I haven't. You know, I've utterly failed in that. You know, there's some verses that tell us how important many of the authors of the New Testament found that kind of support. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter. I'm going to go on and read the whole thing. "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter attempted you and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may God, our God and Father himself, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." You see the love that Paul had for the Thessalonians and the encouragement that that he had when he realized that they were faithful and that they were, you know, and that they shared the same love he had for God. You know, that it was an encouragement to him. Over in Philippians, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 10, But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, here, Paul's saying, it's not about the money. It's about the fruit that abounds to your account. It's about the encouragement that he had knowing that the Philippians, he was in different places, that they were finding ways to support him, that they were thinking about him, that they wanted him to be successful in his work for the gospel. And I can assure you that the men that we support desire that same thing from us. And, you know, they're in challenging situations. And for us to lift up their hands is an important thing. And it's something, like I said, that I have not done. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. And even with the Corinthians, Paul tells them, he gives them an example. In verses 15 through 18, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone that works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaeus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. Paul was concerned, and the news that he got refreshed his spirit. You know? And so while this situation right here isn't a perfect parallel as far as the specifics to what we're talking about with the men that we support, you know, they're not sitting there saying, well, the Oak Ridge Church of Christ sure is in trouble. I hope some men go there that can take care of the problems there necessarily. The fact is, hearing good news about another congregation refreshes your spirit, doesn't it? It's good to hear that things are going well. You know, when a brother comes back from Athens and says, you know what, they're having a gospel meeting, or they had, you know, they're having a really good class, it's refreshing to your spirit. It's good for me when I get to go out there and preach and I see them. You know, it's good to know that there are other people that are trying to follow God's will. And it's not just Paul that writes about this. Over in 3 John, the first four verses of 3 John. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, again, this idea of good news from afar off about people who are faithful and the encouragement that it can bring. You know, this time, before I preached the lesson, I wanted to make sure that I had taken at least a step in the right direction. So yesterday morning when I was preparing for it, I emailed David Cambridge, Gary Hunt, and Joel Holt. And I've already received responses from Joel Holt and Gary Hunt. And, you know, just I think they were happy to hear from me. And, you know, it just takes a second. I mean, Murray's sending us these reports every month, and they have the men's email right in there. You can click on that. And, you know, if you don't know what to write, it doesn't have to be a book. I can assure you that, you know, there was nothing particularly profound about the things that I told them. But I just introduced myself as a member of the Oak Ridge Church of Christ, told them that I was praying for them, told them that I was grateful for the work that they were doing in the places that they were, and prayed that the Lord would continue to bless them. You know, it doesn't take much to do that, brethren. I should have done it a long time ago, and I'm glad that I finally did it. Now I have, you know, with the men that have responded. Yeah, I'm going to try to come up, especially as I read their reports, maybe try to make it a little bit more specific next time. But the point is, a word of encouragement, I think, would go a long way. It's not just about the money we send them. And don't we know, you know, we know that just money by itself isn't enough. And yet sometimes we act, I think we trick ourselves into thinking that it is, or we're busy. We're busy people, and it's understandable. But, it doesn't take very long to do that. And we're so blessed. Paul, when he's talking about Philippians, not that you didn't care, but you lacked opportunity. What opportunity do we have today? It's so easy for us now. All I have to do is sit down at my computer, and 10 minutes later, I can have encouraged my brother who lives in London or New York or Puerto Rico. That's a great blessing, brethren. We need to take advantage of that. I was reading through some of the reports that I could find, and I went through, and I let my unread email get really large, and I went through cleaning out just unread emails because it's mostly garbage that I need to get unsubscribed from. And I've deleted some of my more recent reports from some of these men. But I did read the most recent report from David Cambridge. And I'll tell you what, that you ought to be reading that report. It is just chock full of really good teaching. Some of the men are real direct. This is what I'm doing. But Brother Cambridge, he digs in and he says, here's what I'm teaching them. Here's the details. I learned a lot just from reading his report. There's a lot of really good teaching in there. And I counted up, he's got 9 personal studies and 8 email studies that he mentions in his last report. So he is busy. He is working. And not only that, he gives the names of the people in there so we can pray for them. We can be praying for our brothers. We can be praying for the people that they are working with. But, I checked with Murray yesterday. And, we've got David Cambridge in London, England. We've got Gary Hargis, who used to be in Washington, and this is how out of touch I've allowed myself to become. Did not even realize until I was looking at one of his more recent reports that he's since moved back to Cleveland, Tennessee, and is working with the Michigan Avenue Church of Christ down there. So I'm embarrassed that I didn't know that, and I still need to reach out to him. Joel Holt, who's still in Puerto Rico. The last report I could find from him, and again, I'm sure I just deleted it, was from January, February. And there were like 10 or 12 people down there. That's a very, very small group. And that's not even his primary language. I'm sure he's fluent in Spanish, for which I respect him. But still, that has to be a difficult situation. And then some of the things that were announced, the ill health of his mother-in-law, who's in Italy. My wife and I have kind of made a conscious decision to stay here in town where both our sets of parents are. And I still feel like I have a full plate. I can't imagine trying to manage that long-distance relationship with ill parents. That's got to be very, very difficult. And just the difficulty of the work that he's got there in Puerto Rico. And then Gary Hunt, our Brother Murray talked about that last week. And then Roger Williams here in Tennessee, here just in Pigeon Forge. He's close at home, so we can encourage him. And, just what we can do to encourage these men. And then also we've got, we did a one-time support of Jason Hunt on a trip to Zimbabwe. And he's scheduled to come talk to us about that. And so we can look forward to that and see what we can do to encourage him. But, and so this has been a humbling lesson for me to write, because realizing the importance of what I can do for these men, even in a small way, and yet my own failure to do so. But, one of the most important things, I think, as Christians, one of the most important messages that we can keep coming back to is in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. And I'm going to start in verse 7 and read down through. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. You know, when we realize, as I have, that there's something in our Christian walk that we haven't been doing, or we haven't been doing well enough, you know, it's easy to say, well, and you know, with this, I've really kind of, it's really hit me. You know, there are times that I haven't understood how other people might have had the attitudes that they've had about, well, I can't do that, or, you know, I'm afraid to try to do that, or how could I do that? And yet, this is something that I've put off for literally years and years and years and years to do anything about this, even though there have been times in the past that I've thought, you know, I really should do something to encourage these men that we support, and yet I've never, ever done it before. And yet, that's what Paul's telling us. You know, when we find that, we can put that behind us. We can do better in the future. And what a great thing that is for us, not just in this thing that I'm talking about today, but in every aspect of our Christian walk, that when we realize that we haven't been doing something well enough, that we have the ability to forget those things which are behind and reach for the things that are ahead. And so, while very specifically, I hope this morning that you will take this to heart and look toward these emails that we get and the things that are posted in the back, and you know, reach out to these men and just let them know that we're thinking about them, praying for them, that we hope they're successful, that we're glad that they're doing the things that they're doing. But just in anything that you have in your life this morning, if you realize, you know, I'm not where I need to be, you have the same opportunity that Paul had to forget those things that are behind and to make yourself right with God. And we have that opportunity. We're going to have that opportunity here in just a second. If you haven't become a Christian, we got everything you need. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to confess His name before men, if you're willing to repent of the sins that you've committed in the past, you can be buried with Him in baptism, be washed in His blood, and arise a new creature. But if you've done all those things and you know you realize you haven't been doing what you should and there are things you want to repent of, we'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the call of the gospel this morning, won't you come as we stand together and sing?